You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. How's it going, my friends? I'm excited because yours truly has finally added another offering to the wonderful mission of helping you to advance further in life, known as the Going North Advancement Compass. This new book is a success journal. It is the fulfillment field guide for your success. So if you want a method to crack the code on how to be a good day architect, then pick up this wonderful book right here on Amazon.com. And we're going to put a link to that in the wonderful show notes. That way you can check it out like a library book, my friends. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth today, known as Podmatch.com, a wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and that they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed, y'all. That's right, indeed. You're probably going to need three cucumbers for all the coolness that today's guest brings, y'all, because she's a world traveler, y'all. She's a world traveler, as well as a wonderful wife, a digital nomad, as well as a freelance writer. So let's give it up for the kind and intelligent Kayla Erick. How you doing today, Kayla?
I'm great. How are you, Dom?
Doing great, too. Yeah, that's right, indeed. Here today, she hails from the land of nuts and cookies.
Yeah, currently phoning in from North Macedonia. Haven't had any cookies yet, though, because, well, now it's on my radar to go get some.
Oh, this is good. All right, the side effect of the guesting on this show is finally starting. All right, start earlier than usual. You start having a hunger for random things. Like, I need food now.
And macadamia nuts.
Exactly. So my goodness, as with all introductions, and food is not allowed to be 78 days long, and it probably only covered, I don't know, 78 seconds of what makes Kayla the Kayla that she is. So mind filling in any cavities I may have missed about you and how you became the Kayla that you are today?
Oh, wow. That's quite the question. Well, I started traveling 6 years ago, and that's how it was 7 years, 6.5 years ago now. And I wrote a book last year called How to Be a Digital Nomad, and it just came out. So that's what I'm excited to talk about. If anyone, yeah, has any interest in the digital nomad lifestyle, I'm excited to share insights.
Yes, right, indeed. And I heard your first country that you escaped to is Mexico. Why Mexico?
I was scared of all international travel. I was really scared. I thought, what am I going to do whenever I can't speak the language? That, like, I don't know what, I just, how will I function? And I thought, I need to go become familiar. You know, growing up in the US, I thought I have to go see my neighbor before I see anyone else. So, and I'd been to Canada because Canadians can get kind of worked up. They're like, I don't know how many, can't tell you how many times I've heard the statistic that 90% of Canadians go to the US, but only 10% of Americans go to Canada. I've been to Canada. So then it was time to meet our neighbors in the South and then move on from there and see what else there is out there. I didn't have a plan. So you don't need one. You don't need one, though.
So there you go. Kind of like some of those fiction writers out there, just fly by the seat of your pants, huh? Don't need a plan at all.
Ooh, burn.
Well, that's what they say. That's their writing styles, Panther, as they call themselves, some of them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's either they write by the seat of their pants, see what pops out of their brain, or they're one of those organized outliners who outlines random stuff in their book and then try to align things to each and every point. So, yeah.
I was an outliner. I had a very detailed outline before I started writing, but I had to get my book deal. So that was to my benefit.
Yeah, that's right, indeed. If I'm not mistaken, you actually secured your book deal through LinkedIn, right? Like someone just found you up
Yeah.
there.
Yeah, the publisher actually reached out to me. They said, "Hey, we found your writing. We like it. We want a book on the topic of digital nomadism. Can we talk?" And I thought that they were going to ask me to introduce them to somebody. I was so disconnected from the reality, like that someone on LinkedIn DM'd me was going to offer me a book deal. I thought there's no way that's happening. And yeah, then I got on a call and they said, "Yeah, we want to, extend a tentative invite. Do you want to pursue this?" And if I did, I had to, fill out the book proposal, and I did that with my editor. He ended up becoming my editor. And then he sent that to the board. It got approval and they came back with an offer. So it was all very serendipitous. I had no idea that that was going to happen. I mean, I'm a blogger, so I always thought about writing a book. I don't think there's any blogger out there who hasn't thought about writing long form, but I never expected it to come about through LinkedIn, of all places.
So is writing something that you always love to do?
Yeah, I always liked it. I studied journalism in college, so it was something that I enjoyed and had done for work, but never really saw it as a career because, well, journalists don't make very much money, and it's also a lot quick turnaround. Like I like to plan things out a little bit more, and to like do an event at 9 p.m. and have an article due to my editor at 6 a.m. I didn't last long in that space.
I hear you, 'cause yeah, you're right. Like timing is everything. You got to be like on it, like snap
Yeah.
the fingers on it,
Yeah, no
and it
waiting
has to
for
be accurate.
inspiration or being in the mood. I like to be in the mood to write. So nerd journalism does not, at least in the way I did it. Yeah, there was no space for that.
So what gets you in the mood for writing?
Deadlines, pretty much. I like to plan my workout by week. So I write blog posts for that have my name on them. Some of them I author myself. Like I write for the HubSpot blog and GoDaddy blog. And then I also ghostwrite for other people's blogs, like businesses who want a blog to bring website traffic in from Google. So I write for those, and those are published under that brand's name. So I like to be very deadline oriented for those articles. I have like a month of advance notice usually, and I like knowing, hey, it's due in a week. I'll get it done a few days early. But if I'm not in the mood today, I can go out and spend all day outside in the sunshine. Like yesterday was really nice. Well, the what it was nice, and the Wi-Fi went out. That almost felt like the universe telling me, stop trying today. I went outside, got a glass of wine, and a cat came up and fell asleep on my lap. This stray cat. It was beautiful. But yeah, deadlines are what do it for me, but not the super quick deadline. Yeah, the newspaper deadlines, no, too much.
There you go. From propaganda rags to digital nomad blog swag. You love to see it. That's right,
Whoa.
indeed. At least that's what I heard someone call the newspaper one time. I'm like, dang. You know what? That's kind of funny.
Propaganda rags. Wow. I was doing small town reporting. So it was like there was a protest. I covered a protest once. These people were literally protesting all taxation, any raise in taxes for any reason. And I'm like, can you tell me about that? And then they look like they just blink at you like, we're against all taxing. I'm like, well, what's your solution? And they're like, we're against it. I'm like, okay. All right. That was the level of reporting that I was doing.
Hey, well, I agree with it for the most part, indeed. Like, hey, take all the taxes that you truly need, but hey, don't overtax people.
After living in Europe for years, I appreciate taxation because I lived in the Netherlands. I had a home base in the Netherlands for 5 years, and the taxes there are very high, like up to 50%, depending on your income level. But man, they use it. Like they have enough
Oh,
money to
good.
do anything. Like the roads are impeccable. There's like not a piece of grass out of line. Every problem that they have, they just throw a bunch of money at it and fix it. Like they don't have stray animals anymore, they don't have homelessness. There's no like need for food banks or nonprofits to solve problems. It's, of course, there's a few exceptions to that, but it's incredibly different. I don't know. I'm completely pro tax whenever it's used well.
Heck yeah, indeed. And sure, well, Netherlands too. Wasn't that like one of the, isn't like consistently usually in the top like happiest countries list too, usually?
Yeah, it's in the top five for pretty much everything. Happiest, healthiest, happiest kids, best place to raise kids, best education. It goes on. Yeah. On and on. All those countries in Northern Europe, that's like normally where it kind of clusters, is like Northern Europe. Taxes are high, but quality of life is also very high.
That's the way it's supposed to happen if you're going to tax people. Like, sure. Like, here's the money, right? That's what sounds like what's happening over there for the most part, which is good.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, oh. But hey, the good news is that, hey, speaking of taxes, you're making money from your travels as well. So, my goodness, my goodness. How is it like getting to that point where you can now do this full time, because you're basically helping folks to do that now, basically, with your magical book.
Well, I haven't received a check from the book yet, so I can't brag about living off of that work. But as a writer, I've been living off of that for a while. Yeah, I've kind of drifted in and out, done different things freelance. I started out freelance writing. That was the first thing I was doing whenever I was traveling back in 2017. And I left my job. I worked in marketing in Chicago, and I left and found freelance work on Craigslist. Somebody was looking for freelance writers, and I wasn't making much money, but I was going to less expensive countries, and I was living really low costs. I mean, rent in Chicago for me was $1,200 a month, and I never spent $1,200 a month as a traveler. Even now, I do sometimes now because we stay in places for a month at a time, but not on accommodation. I mean, I don't think I've ever spent as much. And I've stayed in like on beachfront properties in the Caribbean, and I've never paid $1,200 a month for that. So, yeah, that was it's called geo-arbitration whenever you go to somewhere that's less expensive so that your lifestyle can change. And that really worked for me.
Wow, okay. And does stress ever play a role with switching locations so much all the time?
I've gotten used to it, but it takes a toll. You know, it's a lot of decision fatigue whenever you travel full time. So you don't have to travel full time if you want to be a traveler. Like, I think you work remotely, don't you?
I've got
Or
them
hybrid?
both. Yeah, let's just go with hybrid. Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. So if you could get permission to work remotely for a week or a month, even. A lot of people will get permission to go away for January and work somewhere with more sunshine, somewhere warmer. You can do that and keep your whole house intact. And because digital nomads still work, they don't need that funding that you used to need to travel. You don't need like a trust fund or making money off of your like real estate properties. You can just kind of live normally wherever you are. So, it does, yeah, take wear down whenever you travel full time, like I do. I don't have an apartment. I don't have any stuff. I have two backpacks and a suitcase or two in storage, but I carry the two backpacks around with me. And yeah, you're kind of always deciding what's next. Do I like this country? Do I want to stay? It can be tiring, but you build stamina for that.
There you go, there you go. So my goodness, so do you have a bucket list of countries that you haven't touched ground on yet?
Yeah, there's a lot of countries I'm very interested in visiting and haven't made it to yet. I go pretty slowly traveling. So some people will spend like a few days in a country and keep going. That's not my style. Usually stay most places at least a month. It's pretty normal for me.
There you go. It's right in the day. So which countries are on the list?
Oh man. Everything in the Caucasus. I really want to go travel to Turkey and then go north over land and view go to the Caucasus. That's like Georgia, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, everything in Asia. And I do mean everything. I've almost gone to Asia several times, and then something else closer by always pops up, and I end up doing that. And I think I'll do Asia next, and then it doesn't happen. And Ecuador. I was supposed to go to Ecuador. Well, this is the thing about traveling, you know, like things happen. You're like, oh, I think I'll go there in 6 months. And then all of a sudden there's like a dengue fever outbreak. And you think, okay, I'll do that next time. So, and then you go somewhere else. And yeah, you're kind of always watching the news and what's up before you book that flight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely hear you. I mean, annoying sometimes. Like, yo, this looks like it's gonna be a location. Great dream spot. Let's make this best. Let's have it. It's like, oh, darn, there's a fever. Oh shoot, there's a conflict between another neighboring country. Yeah, buddy. All right. I will not be someone's collateral today.
Yeah.
So my goodness, with all these magical travels and putting your magical book together, like my goodness. So how was it like going the long form route, basically taking your blogging style to full-time complete book?
It was hard. It's hard to write. I mean, I wrote the book in 6 months. I'm not sure what's typical. Do you have an idea of what's typical for people to write a book? I'm curious, actually.
It really varies by author. We have had one guest, took her 10 years on and off because she had to fight off breast cancer twice. So there's situations like that, all the way to folks, even some folks like me may take like a year for a book, usually, depending. If anything, now that I think about it, yeah, 6 months is usually a good number for nonfiction these days. So yeah, definitely. So yeah, it really very like maybe like a year usually, and then if it's traditionally published, you might have to wait maybe an extra few months or two, another year, just for them to plan and
Yeah.
market.
That was my experience. I finished writing at the end of June, and then I edited, made my final edits to the book. I mean, it goes through like four levels of, and my book went through four levels of editors, from what I remember. And I didn't even see the final copy until the print came. I didn't. Which was also a little scary because I'm used to being the last one to check all my work. So waiting for months and not knowing what was happening, what changes were being made, not having the final say on things. Like I didn't have the final say on the cover of my book. You know, these little things. Well, I told them this is what I like, I would like to see, but I trust you. And I didn't see it. I just went on Amazon one day and it popped up. I was like, oh, okay. I guess that's live. But it's nice to have people doing things. They know more than I do. So it was good that they made those decisions.
Dates, writing date. That's right. Finally made it over the finish line. Indeed, with the four stages of edits. It's writing date, going through the magical marketing. It's writing date. So, what are your plans after you finally cross the finish line with the book being out and nailing your 50 podcast interviews? What's next for you?
By the time the book is out, I will be, yeah, settling into Greece for a month. I'm kind of just excited to, yeah, be done. It's a lot of, I love the podcast interviews. I love podcasts, so being on podcasts, it's like so fun. But there's been a lot of writing, a lot of articles for publications, a lot of being on. So it'll be nice just to be offline a bit more. And I'm taking a long walk. I'm going on a 4 month walk.
Oh.
So I'll be working and then I'm gonna work stop and work along the way, but it'll be a very different 2024 is gonna be a different year than 2023 was. 2023 was like me glued to my computer screen and closing my eyes and like seeing words but in you know on my eyelids. The book was always on my mind. 2024 is gonna be mellowed out, walking through a field.
So regular walking, not going to do the Camino de Santiago.
Oh, I'm doing the Camino Portuguese first. That's a 2 week Camino. And then I'm doing the Via Francigena, which goes from the UK to Rome. And that's for me, it'll be 4 months.
Okay.
Have you done the Camino de Santiago?
Nah, who knows? I may put that on the not yet side of the game, but I had a couple guests in the past who've done the Camino. Let's see, one guy. Yeah, I think it was Dennis Pataco, actually. He actually did the Camino, but his boots actually basically broke. I think it was like I think it was like first 30 miles or whatever.
Oh
And
no,
his foot
that's
was
so
in.
soon.
Yeah, he had to get it repaired a bit, but it didn't really help that much. He had to walk the rest of the way after. It hurt like hell, but he was happy it was over with it. He felt accomplished
Oh.
afterwards.
Oh, funny. A lot of people have shoe issues. Yeah. I think I plan on walking in sandals most of the time, but we'll see. It's really popular. It's fun hearing people who have done it. Like 400,000 people a year do the Camino to Santiago. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, man, that's freaking amazing. It's like, man, who would have thought? And then it's like, oh, once you get to the end, I imagine a long line of folks. That's right indeed, especially now that we're in a time where it's okay, a little bit better than what it was in the good old 2020. So yeah.
Yeah, the Caminos got more popular with COVID because it was, yeah, everyone was spending time outside.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, so since you've been on so many interviews for running the work that you're doing, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a very interesting question. Oh, let me think. Not that I can, I don't know. I'm not sure if anything specific comes to mind. I do appreciate the creative questions. You've had creative questions. I feel really sick. I feel like people must be sick of hearing about me and my story. I mean, whenever you talk about yourself, introduce yourself. And I feel like I must say the same thing every time. It's good that the listeners, the audiences are always different, though.
Oh, it's okay. You just got a pretty upsetting information. Got to add a little hyperbole, a little over-exaggeration, and then maybe make it a cross stick. That's right. It's like, yeah, this is the Kayla sandwich right here. Kayla sandwich of life. I had to eat crow, and then turn that crow into a pen, and then turn the giant pen into a keyboard and set it clicky-clacking away, and it became an author.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
There you go. That's you. That's right. The Chicago pizza was amazing, but it was too cold at times. I had to go to Mexico. That's right, Dade. And then I became a Mexican because I can't do it. You can be a digital nomad, y'all.
If you can work online, you can become a digital nomad.
Heck yeah, that's right indeed, especially when you sit on a ruler. That's how you work on
There you go.
line. Well, who am I kidding? Enough of my trapdoors. So my goodness, a fun question for you. If your magical book becoming a digital nomad, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh wow. It would be a hummus salad, like a hummus bowl, because it's like one of those bowls. It's like hummus and salad and falafel and those big bowls. Like, it would be one of those because it's like pretty hearty, pretty good for you, but also some pizzazz.
There we go. First answer of its kind to hummus bowl, y'all. That's right. Indeed. Like, no one's never even said hummus bowl yet. So it's like, yep, we're still getting some interesting answers, y'all. That's what I'm talking about, Dave. So, any quick three tips for folks who are getting a little taste of what to expect from the book on how to become a digital nomad since they may be tired of looking at walls all day and they may hate their coworkers?
If you want to escape your coworkers, ask for a remote work trial. You don't have to go all in, get rid of your house, like say goodbye to your job forever. Ask for permission to do a day a week remotely or a week at a time and try to kind of slowly work your way in. A lot of managers have resistance to it at first because they think, no, it's going to be too much change, whatever. But they don't, once they see that you still deliver all of your work on time and everything's fine, then you can get more permissions from there. And work on your communication and working ahead of schedule. If you're ever going to work from a different destination, like where you plan on traveling and enjoying it outside, you have to be ahead of schedule because the Wi-Fi might be slow or the Wi-Fi might go out. Yesterday afternoon for me, the Wi-Fi went out. And if I had been on a deadline, I would have been in so much trouble. I would have been running around, panicking, trying to email my editor and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I need an extension. And then you're going to ruin your chances of that being sustained, because every mistake or like I don't know, every snafu like that becomes like the whole litmus test of remote work, of like to your team or your manager. Like if it fails once, they're gonna say, well, you tried and it didn't work, even though you might have been fine for like 6 months and then you had one issue. That those moments are going to define how your team sees remote work. So be strong, be ahead of schedule all the time. And a third
Yeah.
tip, I think you asked for three, have fun. Think of somewhere fun to go, somewhere that makes you happy and gives you energy. Maybe something different from home, lots of contrast.
Back here, right indeed.
Yeah,
The contrast is amazing when you make it happen. That's right. Just go outside and be like, oh my gosh, there's colors. Oh
I
man, there's
know.
this the sky is blue. I can't believe it. There's clouds. There's humans. It's over smiling. All right, cool.
Even if it's contrast in like the other way, like everyone always thinks about going somewhere warm, but if you go somewhere like really cold, even you notice things. Like I just arrived somewhere cold and snowy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so clean. Like the air feels clean. It's so crisp. I swear it's like quiet because it's quiet whenever there's snow. I haven't been around snow in 5 or 6 years. I forgot what it was like to you just I don't know. You it just makes you kind of more alive whenever you're somewhere that feels out of your element.
Ah, there you go. That's right. That snow, nature's cocaine, makes you feel alive. Right indeed. That's right indeed. Because, yeah, you're right. That's right indeed. Oh, I guess we all need reminders of why we do the things that we do. It's like, yay. Gotta love this warm climate. I love it so much. Why do I love it? Now, let me go somewhere where it's extra cold. Oh, God. Snow. I'm becoming frosty in front of my own eyes. Now I remember why I love the warmer climates.
Yeah, it makes you choose again. You're like, oh, I want to go home for the warmth. And it makes you realize how happy you are to have that.
Right indeed, because home is where the homies are. Ah, solid tips indeed, solid tips indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you'll wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would give myself the advice to enjoy the difficult times more. Like, don't just kind of black out and try to wait for it to be, like slogging through the work, the low points of writing. For me, the low points of, living abroad, I thought I just wanted to be over, like waiting for the good part to come back. And I think I left missed out on a lot of happiness and living in those low points. And I wish I could just find a way to go back, get a pizza, have a bottle of wine, think out, like just enjoy it, bunker down and make the most of it. And don't just kind of close your eyes and wait for the world to pass you by until it's over.
There you go. The rock solid advice. Enjoy the difficult day. That's right indeed. Because if you live through it, you'll have a great story to tell later. Inspire the masses. And the molasses, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. You get to put on a magical turban and then go across the seven seas. And then you wake up with a lampshade over your head in a different country. And you're like, oh man, I don't know what that experience was, but it was freaking great. That's right indeed. Oh crap, I got a blog due tomorrow. My goodness, folks only got probably 2% of what Kayla has to offer. So for those who need to dive into the other 98% and cop some copies of her magical book, what's the best way for folks to do so?
The book is available all of the normal places, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Target. But if you're interested in buying, I encourage everyone to check first with the locally owned shops and support them as much as possible.
There you go, folks. Go to your local bookshop. Make sure there's an E at the end of the shop. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. I was best with you. If you see the book, just buy it. Don't even ask questions, just buy it. Just see it. Be like, oh yeah, Kayla, I heard her on Going North or somewhere else. Like, yeah, let me go buy this book. It's like, oh wait, what's this demon possessing me? Let me buy 10 books. All right, cool. There we go. And it's
There we
getting out of
go.
paper. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, it's a book demon. Oh, it's a page turner. No, it's telling me to turn the card over, throw it to the chip reader. Well, before another rabbit hole appears, any parting words before we close up shop, Kayla?
Anyone who's on the fence, been wanting to try traveling, if you can find a way to do it, just do it. Because if you're thinking about it and it's been on your mind, you're being pulled in for a reason. And try to find a way. Go online, find people with your circumstances, with your income or family or whatever, and find out how they've been able to make travel happen and go make it happen for yourself. It's calling you for a reason.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being cool.